The King in Yellow moves through the vacuum of space, riding on the free energies of interstellar wind. The womb of Hades is far behind now, and ahead lies the anticipated satisfaction of wrapping ravenous tentacles around the throat of one who never should have existed. Hasta will convert the banished into the executed. Death to the one who slumbers in its watery prison. Death to the one called Cthulhu. Scott followed Dr. Dietmer's directions as they made their way to the northeast side of town. Dietmer's house sat directly under the flight path of Nellis Air Force Base. A fighter jet screamed off the runway and flew overhead. The house matched the run-down neighborhood, but Dietmer seemed out of place. When they pulled up at the curb, Scott took notice of a small rental car in the driveway. Appearing from around the side of the house, a woman hurried down the weed-ridden yard to the street. Teresa Smith wore a tan business skirt and suit jacket. Her streaked blonde hair, coiffed into a tight bun, looking like she just came from a high-power business meeting.
"Where have you been?"
she asked.
"Ah, there you are, my dear,"
Dietmer replied. They embraced, then she quickly pulled away.
"Who's this?"
Scott waved his hand without raising his arm.
"Hi, I'm Scott."
"You gave my dad a ride on that?"
"Well, yeah," Scott said as he glanced back at his Harley. "I found him wandering around a place he shouldn't have been."
Dietmer grabbed his head and steadied himself.
"I must rest now."
His daughter started leading him toward the house, but the doctor stopped and turned around.
"I think you may help, Scott. Please, come inside. Teresa will make you something to eat, won't you, dear?"
Scott hadn't had anything to eat since the night before, and turning down a free meal would have been just plain rude. Teresa followed her father into a bedroom and began to complain through the thin door. She hammered him about the meager living conditions he had been renting for the last year. She exited his room with a tired look on her face, then quietly shut the door and went into the kitchen. A few minutes later, she returned with a sandwich on a paper plate, placing it on the coffee table in front of Scott. The lunch looked haphazardly thrown together, comprising a bologna sandwich with wilted lettuce sticking out from between thin slices of white bread, a few broken potato chips on the side.
"What's your deal, anyway?"
Teresa asked. She sat down in a padded chair across from Scott, who had already taken a spot on the couch. Scott put the plate on his lap and took a large bite of the sandwich.
"I saw your old man, so I helped him out. I don't think he should live alone, if you know what I mean."
Her face screwed up in anger, but her words remained calm. She stood and waved her arms at the drab furniture and dusty corners.
"I didn't know he was living like this."
She flopped back into her chair.
"He was faculty back in New York, Miskatonic University. After Mom passed, he suddenly left his professorship and hasn't been the same on his own. Now he's obsessed with some mystical idol."
Scott watched her, wondering if she had a boyfriend.
"So, what do you do? Sell stocks or something back east?"
he asked.
"No, I'm a software developer at Visage Tome."
Scott blinked.
"I live in Denver,"
she added, while pulling at her stray hairs in a failed attempt to tuck them away.
"I flew out here as soon as I got his crazy message."
She was quiet for a moment, her brow furrowed in deep thought. Scott grabbed a potato chip and munched on it.
"And yes, I agree he shouldn't be alone, so I'm taking him back with me as soon as possible. He won't go home, but at least he said he wouldn't mind Colorado."
Teresa went back to another bedroom and shut the door. He couldn't figure out how such a smart woman could make such an awful sandwich. He finished it anyway. In moments, a dizziness set in. He tried to stand, but his legs wouldn't move. Was the sandwich poisoned? A blissful non-existence of sleep overtook him.